Good morning again.
Good morning.
I'll reiterate Mike's thoughts regarding visitors. We absolutely enjoy having visitors. We're delighted that you can be among us. We really would ask you to stay long enough so we get to know you. Week before last Friday, we celebrated Veterans Day. I would like to, for a moment, for all the veterans that's in our audience to stand up for just a second, if you can. Amen. Thank you. You know, when each one of us, and that includes myself, took an oath when we entered the military service, we offered our lives, if necessary, to protect our country and to serve our country. Yes. We have some first responders here in the police department, perhaps fire department, I'm not sure. Would you like to stand, please? Joe, I know you're here. Ricardo, where are you at? Oh, they're all out. Well, we'll let that go. Our first responders, there's Ricardo, he's already standing, Joe's standing, good. Our first responders take an oath as well. They take an oath to serve the community, even if it means their lives. I would like all of you to stand at this point. You can get up, it's all right, it's okay. I'm not gonna do anything, ask you any hard questions. You may sit down now. All of us, that means every one of you that just stood, also are committed to serving the community, are also committed to serving God's creation. And that is an eternal commitment, brothers and sisters. That's not just like our first responders on this earth or our military on this earth. It's not about me. It's not about them. And when we grasp that aspect of serving, we would be more effective to serve our Lord and Savior as well as our community, as well as the world around us. All of you know that, and I'm certain of it, absolutely certain of it. God, Jesus had said to us, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. Paul, talking to the Philippians as well, made a point to telling them in the second chapter, it's not your will, it's not your desires, but those around you. And then he goes on to that great passage in 2 Philippians, in which it tells about Jesus having left the heavenly domain and come to this earth as a servant. Brothers and sisters, it's not about me. Why the disconnect? Why do we find ourselves sometimes not serving one another? Why do we find ourselves not committed as much as we are? The Philippians had the same issue. That's why Paul writes the letter and said, not your desires, but those around you. Matthew in the 10th chapter of Mark, as well as Matthew, the 20th chapter, gives us a discussion. Rob mentioned it last week in terms of John and James wanting to be important, if you will, when Jesus took over being a king in their minds. And Jesus said to them, I don't think you know what you're asking for. That's when he gives us this quote that says, I came not here to be served, but to serve. It isn't just the first century. It wasn't just the Philippians. It's us as well. We have a difficulty grasping the aspect that says, I need to get rid of my desires. I need to get rid of my pride. I need to make certain that it's not about me.
Yes, sir.
That it's about everyone else. It's about what I can do. Why the disconnect? The media plays a larger part on that. We just saw the media in terms of the election messing up that they did with the polls, et cetera, et cetera. The media tells us that we deserve whatever you can possibly think of, from McDonald's hamburgers to perfume, to whatever, that we deserve it. Brothers and sisters, it isn't about us. It's not about me. It's what God wants us to do. That's why Jesus entered this earth. That's God incarnate that walked among us and said, I came not to be served. I came to serve. I battled with this thought. One of the things that Myla and I, my granddaughter, that I get a great deal of pleasure in, if you will, is reading her a book in the evenings right after her baths, whether which house she's at, she shows up with a book in her hands. She brought this book with me this morning, or not this morning. I don't know how much of you can read that. I will in a moment. But it's regarding the Good Samaritan. We do an injustice to that parable because what Jesus was talking about our individual commitment and who's our neighbor. We think in terms of our neighbor as the person next door. They didn't think in terms of that in the first century. Their neighbor was whomever they came in contact with. And so when Jesus offered this parable and Myla brought this book to me this week, I thought, I think it's time for me to read something from that. The verbiage that I have up there is at the end of the parable. And of course, it's a transliteration for young people. But you know what, brothers and sisters, I don't care how old you are, this is applicable. Now ask our Lord, who helped the fellow man in every way he could? Who was the one who acted here the way a neighbor should? The priest, you'll say, was not the one. He hurried right on by. Nor did the Levite help the man. He seemed afraid to try. The Good Samaritan, he was the only one to stay. And though the merchant hated him, he helped him in every way. How wonderful if you and I and all God's children would show a love to all we meet as Jesus said we should. Sometimes from the babes of mouth. Children sometimes can pick up lessons that we need to pick up on. That our neighbor is anyone around us. That we have to care for them and it's not about us. It is not about you and I. It's not about me. It's about our commitment to our Lord and Savior who created us, who cares about us, who wants us to care about his creation. That's what servanthood is all about. That's what it is to serve, is to reach out there and touch someone's lives, regardless of whether we like them or not, regardless of whether they like us or not. That was Jesus' parable here. It's not about me. I don't know if you can see this very well, but the bottom of this circular pond is water. We get a story about the water master. It's kind of an interesting story. Tobias and his son had a well. In this area, in the Palestinian area, water was crucial. It was minimal. It was something that rarely you had enough of. And so when someone had a well, they were important, and they could exact a great deal of fees. Tobias didn't do that. He gave out the water freely to whomever needed it. And sometimes they didn't even thank him about it. They didn't even appreciate it, but he gave out the water as well, him and his son. Tobias goes on a lengthy trip and with his son and says, well, the water is still going to be available. My servants are going to take care of it. Unfortunately, as people came and asked the servant for water, the servant decided that they had to thank him for the water. And then they had to come up with different reasons that they deserved the water. And this went on and on. Pretty soon, not very many people were getting the water because they were becoming angry with them. There was a person that came disguised to ask for water. And the servant said, well, you have to prove your worth to me before I can give you the water. He removed his garments and he realized that this was the son of Tobias. That allegory gets back to us in terms that God sends his son to give us grace freely, and we sometimes do not offer it as he wants us to do. Brothers and sisters, when God has given us his grace, his mercy, his salvation, we should ask for no more, and we should offer it on not reluctant at all. That it is from God and not from us. We ought to be serving our community with that salvational plan. We ought to be serving everyone with whatever they needed. And if it is a cup of water, then offer them a cup of water. And if it is a mission field, then go to the mission field. This is God's creation. And that's what he anticipates from us. That we are a part of that because he has given it to us. He has offered it to us freely. And he says to us, serve those around us. Because it's not about me. It isn't. It can't be. Whoever we come in contact with, that's who we need to be offering. Paul's experience in the Philippian area and the Philippi was very unique. One of these days when we have lots of time, I'll go into the history part of it and why the Macedonia call was so crucial to us and crucial to every one of us. But right now, let's point out that Paul goes to Philippi, if you will. When he goes there, and you'll find in the 16th chapter of Acts, when he goes to Philippi, he goes there and he finds not a synagogue. It only required 10-12 men to have a synagogue in a city. Philippi was one of an ex-military town, and they didn't have that. We know that because he goes outside the gates and finds a group that are meeting and praying to God, and it was Lydia. She accepts salvation. She commits her house to it. There's an interesting passage there. If you consider me a believer in the Lord, come and stay at my house. She was a servant that was offering her home to whomever needed it. She realized that she had been given the gift of water, in this case for the allegory, but she had been given the salvational aspect from God. And she says, all that I have, I'm offering to you. It wasn't just Paul and Silas that she was offering this to. She was offering it to those who she met that said, if you need something, I'm here to serve you. I'm willing to commit my life and whatever I have to serve you. It's not about me. Brothers and sisters, what if every one of us, every family here in 2017, decided to offer our homes, perhaps even an acquaintance discussion with somebody that hasn't touched God. If we offered that to someone just a couple times in 2017, if we're willing to serve our community just a couple times, two times in 2017, Would we change this congregation? Can we change our community at large? Can we change the world around us? And the answer is absolutely. We saw that we see it in the first century. One house at a time, one soul at a time.
Yes, sir.
We think of the church in the first century as some huge group of people. Rome had a couple million people at it. They probably had less than 200 Christians out of 2 million. We know that from the number of house churches that they had. And by the way, there was no huge buildings in the first century. We don't get church buildings till the third century. We have house churches then in the first century. We have house churches now. Many of you know that I walk a great deal in my neighborhood. I actually came in contact with a policeman who had gone over to Cuba to do some missionary work. It was interesting. I thought Cuba was one of the last things, places I would think to do it. But they had an enormous growth regarding their commitment to Christ. And they did it not by suddenly getting to build more church buildings. The law is against that. But what the law had said is we're not going to prevent house churches. Immediately, they started expanding their houses. They've had an increase of some 200% of people accepting Christ in Cuba because they offered their house. They came, and they don't even have places to sit down on. There's a description of one of them sitting down on a pile of rocks so he could have a seat at somebody's house. House churches are effective in Cuba. House churches were effective in the first century. House churches can be effective for our congregation as well. You have homes, you have places. Let's reach out there and serve people by offering them our home. Offer them our contact. Offer them our care for them. Serving them in every possible way we can, because that's what Jesus wants us to do. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about us. The keys to becoming a better servant is forget self. That we somehow need to be throwing that off and saying, it's not me. It's others that I care about. Regardless of where they're at, regardless of their ethnic background, regardless of their gender background, regardless of their economic station in life, I care about them. Just as the Good Samaritan did on that road for a merchant that absolutely hated his guts. Absolutely would not have contacted him under any other circumstances. But the Good Samaritan didn't ask whether you like me or not. He didn't ask him what color he was. He didn't ask him if he was a Jew or a Gentile. He didn't ask him if he was a female or a male. He didn't even ask him what political party he belonged to. He looked and said, you need a cup of water. Brothers and sisters, when we come in contact with people of any kind, they need a cup of water. And if it is more than that, they need the salvational part that God offers them. And they can see that by our action. They can see that by our commitment. They can see that by what we do. Jesus responds to the lawyer after he gives out the parable of the Good Samaritan. Who was the neighbor? The lawyer got the answer right, but he couldn't even come close to saying, oh, it was the Good Samaritan. No, he at least got the message. It was the person who showed mercy was his answer. Brothers and sisters, those whom we touch lives with will realize that we care. They may not always follow what we're suggesting. It isn't that they're suddenly going to be saved, if you will, and commit themselves to Christ. But it is the only way that we're going to get their attention. That policeman I told you about that went to Cuba, he was talking to one of the ministers, And the minister said, well, the second time usually doesn't work when we ask them if they're going to commit themselves to Christ. But the third time usually doesn't either. And sometimes we have to go a fourth time. And we keep doing it because we know how much the gospel of Jesus Christ means in their lives. And we don't hesitate. And no matter how many times we have to, we carry it and ask them. We see Jesus talking to Peter regarding forgiveness. How many times? Innumerable. Absolutely innumerable. Absolutely innumerable. Offering the gospel of Jesus Christ and touching people's lives. Reaching out there with a cup of water, if you will. Reaching out there with our lives in terms of food. Reaching out there with whatever we can. That's being a servant. And that's what we've committed to. All of you that stood, all of us that stood up a while ago, we've already made a commitment to our Lord and said, yeah, I'm your servant. We see Jude saying the same thing when he writes his little book, A Slave of Jesus Christ. This was a half-brother of Jesus. We see James doing the same thing. I'm a servant of the Lord. Half-brother of Jesus. It's not about me. It wasn't about them. It was about the fact that we're going to commit ourselves to everyone we come in contact with so that we can extend the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're not going to hesitate to do it on an ongoing basis, even if they don't take the answer, pick up the answer the first time, or the second time, or the third time, or the 100th time.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. We're stewards of the word. We're not owners. Think of Joseph when he didn't own the things that he had developed for Pharaoh. He was a steward, if you will. We also need to pay attention to our own responsibilities. What do I mean by that? We do not need to be looking around to each other and saying, well, what is that person doing? Maybe I should do that. Or that they're getting more glory. It isn't about me. It is about being a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if he's given you talents, use them. Use them. Not for your glory, but for his. Identify with Jesus. Unconditional love. We don't come and ask for the water with Tobias and say, well, I deserve it because I am X, that I am important, that I need it more than the other person. No. Tobias was given water, if you will, and God is offering his salvation to anyone, to everyone. And it is through us that that salvation is being given.
Amen.
Not only on a personal basis, but also upon our commitment to extend it to whomever we come in contact with. If we're not doing that, we're not serving the Lord God. Let that register, brothers and sisters. If we aren't serving and providing the gospel to whomever we come in contact, we aren't being the servant that God wants us to be.
Amen, brother.
In 2017, we need to change that if we haven't been doing it. We need to expand that if we haven't done it. We need to think in terms that whoever we meet, we want to see them in heaven. We want to contact them. We want to be a part of their lives. We sometimes talk and we sing songs about going into heaven or going there. And that's true. But brothers and sisters, eternity starts now. Understand that. The church is not some group of people waiting for Jesus to pick them up and take them into heaven, if you will. The church is a group of people that says, I'm extending the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we're going to heaven.
All right,
there's a difference.
Yes, sir.
There's an absolute difference. We don't just sit in our rocking chair and wait for that AAA mechanic of Jesus to come and take our lives and take him away. We are acting like we have the eternal salvation in our grasp, and we're willing to give it to whomever we come in contact with.
Amen.
There's a difference. And that's how we should be acting in at all of our lives. It's a ministry of opportunity, not a ministry of obligation. I've got to help this person. No, I want to help this person. If they need a cup of water, if they need food, if they need a visit, I want to help them because of what God has done for me. It's an eternal commitment. Eternity starts now. We have to start thinking in terms of our mental thought processes that says, not me, but them. We need to be determined to follow through. We need to feel as though that no matter what, we're going to accomplish what God wants us to do. That we're willing to sacrifice whatever it is. Those of that was in the military that stood up, those who are first responders that stood up, they don't start when they run into a difficulty and say, well, I don't know whether I should put my life in line, if you will. We didn't think that way. Brothers and sisters, you don't sit there and think about, well, I'm not sure I want to talk to that person or not. He's a different color. It's a different gender. It's a different whatever. They don't have enough food. They don't act. They're not well educated. They're too educated. We don't think about those kind of things. We train ourselves to be doers of the word. That's what James tells us. Doers of the word. What is that? That's the unconditional love that Jesus Christ extended. That is being a neighbor to whomever. Not just the person next door. It's the person in contact with you. Because they have yet to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's our scripture reading this morning. If I was hungry, you fed me. If I was sick, you helped me. If I needed a cup of water, you offered it to me. If I was in prison, you were there for me. The rest of that passage, and you'll find it in the 25th chapter, says, but we didn't know you, and we did it. If you do it to the least of these, you're doing it for me. Brothers and sisters, when we reach out there and touch someone's lives, we are touching God incarnate. We're doing what Jesus wants us to do. He cares about his creation. He cares about us. And that we have this gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord. And that we are able to communicate that to someone and draw them into eternity with us. It's not about me. It's not about any one of us. It's about our commitment to Jesus Christ. We're going to sing an invitation song in a second. You don't need to grab your books. I'm going to give you a second to do that. So you can wait. When we get up to sing that song, look at the words that really says, I'm important, Lord. Have you noticed me? Yeah, I noticed you. Did you notice me on the cross? Oh, yeah, I sort of did. Do you know how hard I'm working for you, Lord? Yeah, I do. I was a bit tired when I was carrying the cross. Oh, yeah, that's right. Well, if you want me to do something spectacular, I'll do it. No, if I ask you to carry a cup of water to somebody, then that's what I expect. And if I ask you to go on a mission field and die there, that's what I anticipate. That's what the words of that song says. Saying to our hearts that whatever Jesus wants us to do, we ought to be doing. Now you can grab your songbooks. Let's stand if we sing the song.